الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading about the noble manners, character and etiquettes of the people of Al-Quran and Al-Imam Al-Ajurri رحمه تعالى. He mentioned a number of beneficial traits, all of them going back to the fact that they are people of knowledge. That they are people of knowledge. They have great concern for knowledge and learning and gaining understanding in their religion. And this is indeed the true sign that Allah, He wants good for His slave. That is that He will bless him and bestow him with beneficial knowledge. He will open his heart and make Al-Islam very interesting. And he will love to learn and seek knowledge and to gain an understanding in the religion. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whosoever Allah wills to guide, then he will open his heart, to open his chest, open his heart to Al-Islam. It's been reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Muawiyah رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. That whomsoever Allah wants good for, He will grant him an understanding in the religion. He will grant him understanding in the religion. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned about this. He said, لَمْ يَكُونَ السَّلَفْ يُطْلِقُونَ إِسْمَ الْفِقْهِ إِلَّا عَلَى الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي يَسْحَبُهُ الْعَمَلِ. That the Salaf, our pious predecessors, they did not used to use the term al-fiqh, understanding in the religion, except to refer to the knowledge that is accompanied by action. Except to refer to the knowledge that is accompanied by action. And the true people of Quran, this is their trait and quality. This is their main trait and quality. They are people of knowledge and application. And these are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. أَلَذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Those whom Allah had bestowed His favors and blessings upon, they are these people, the people of knowledge and application. The people of knowledge and application. We go back to some of the points that we read in our previous class, and we read them again briefly, and stop and discuss some beneficial points on some of them that we did not discuss in our previous class, although we will not be able to touch on each one of them. As has proceeded, each one of these affairs in reality, many of them are actually clarified in chapters in books of hadith, chapters about that specific subject, or there are sub-chapters underneath similar subjects, or even sometimes the people of knowledge have singled out works and authored individual works with these topics here that are traits from the traits of the people of Al-Quran. So to know them in general, and then after that, knowing and having knowledge of these traits and characteristics, learning the details about them by continuing to seek knowledge, by continuing to be diligent to learn. So we go back to where the author, he mentions about that beautiful trait of the people of Al-Quran, يَتْبَعُ وَاجِبَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. يَتْبَعُ وَاجِبَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. He follows the obligations of the Quran and the Sunnah. We just read briefly again some of these points we touched yesterday, but it's important to remember and to ponder over these affairs. This is how a believer he must be. يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ بِعِلْمِ. He eats food with knowledge. وَيَشْرَبُ بِعِلْمٍ. And he drinks with knowledge. وَيَلْبَسُ بِعِلْمٍ. And he wears clothing with knowledge. This goes for the women likewise from the people of Quran. This goes for the women likewise from the people of Al-Quran. وَيَنَامُ بِعِلْمٍ. And he sleeps with knowledge. وَيُجَامِعُ أَهْلَهُ بِعِلْمٍ. And he has intimacy with his wife with knowledge. وَيَصْطَحِبُ الْإِخْوَانَ بِعِلْمٍ. And he accompanies his brothers with knowledge. وَيَزُورُهُمْ بِعِلْمٍ. And he visits them with knowledge. وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ. وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ. And he seeks permission to enter upon them with knowledge. And he seeks permission before entering upon them with knowledge. وَيُجَاوِرُ جَارَهُ بِعِلْمٍ. And he treats and lives with his neighbors with knowledge. He lives alongside with his neighbors and deals with them with knowledge. يُلْزِمُ نَفْسَهُ بِرَّ وَالِدَيْهِ فَيَخْفِضُ لَهُمَّ جَنَاحَهُ وَيَخْفِضُ لِصَوْتِهِمَا صَوْتَهُ وَيَبْذُلُ لَهُمَا مَالَهُ وَيَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمَا بِعَيْنِ الْوَقَارِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ يَدْعُو لَهُمَا بِالْبَقَاءِ وَيَشْكُرُ لَهُمَا عِنْدَ الْكِبَرِ لا يضجر بهما ولا يحقرهما. He obligates himself to be kind and righteous towards his parents. He lowers his wing of humility to them. He lowers his voice before theirs. He spends his wealth on them. He looks at them with respect and mercy. He prays for their long life and expresses gratitude to them in their old age. And he does not grow impatient in dealing with them, nor does he belittle them. إن استعانا به على طاعة أعانهما وإن استعانا به على معصية لم يعنهما عليها ورفق بهما في معصيته إياهما يحسن أدبا ليرجعا عن قبيح ما أرادا مما لا يحسن بهما فعله. If they seek his help in obedience to Allah, he assists them. And if they ask him to aid them in sin, he does not comply. But instead, he advises them gently so they may abandon their wrongdoing. يَسِلُ الرَّحِمُ وَيَكْرَهُ الْقَطِيعَ مَنْ قَطَعَهُ لَمْ يَقْطَعْهُ مَنْ أَصَلَّ اللَّهَ فِيهِ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ فِيهِ. He maintains the ties of kinship and dislikes severing them. If someone cuts him off, he does not return the severance with severance. If someone disobeys Allah concerning him, he obeys Allah concerning them. Meaning again, his actions and his efforts, his life, he's working for the sake of Allah, and he remains within the limits of Allah, regardless of what the people do. Regardless of what the people do. يَصْحَبُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُجَالِسُهُمْ بِعِلْمٍ مَنْ صَحِبَهُ نَفَعَهُ حُسْنُ الْمُجَالَسَةِ لِمَنْ جَالَسَ. He befriends believers with knowledge, taking companions from the Muslims with knowledge, and interacts with them with wisdom and knowledge likewise. Whoever accompanies him benefits from his good companionship, and whoever sits with him finds his company beneficial. What is his example? مثل جليس الصالح وجليس السوء كمثل حامل المسك ونافخ الكير. The parable, the example of the righteous and good companion, and that of the evil companion is that of the one who's carrying perfume and the one who is a blacksmith. So this person, he's like the one who's carrying perfume wherever he goes. إما أن يعطيك, and he's going to give it to you for free. وإما أن تبتع منه, or else you're going to purchase it from him. وإما أن تجد منه ريحا طيبة, or else you're at least going to find a good scent from him. And no matter what, when you're in his company, you will benefit. You will benefit. And at very minimum, you're not going to be harmed. إن علم غيره رفق به لا يعنف من أخطأ ولا يخجله رفيق في أموره صبور على تعليم الخير. If he teaches others, he does so gently. He does not rebuke those who make mistakes nor embarrass them. And he calling them out or embarrassing them in the likes like this or belittling them whenever they make mistakes. And this is very, very important. And the way and the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in correcting errors and mistakes is the most noble and beneficial way. And this is true cultivation and building. And a person who makes a mistake, many times he's not looking to be upon a mistaken error. No doubt there are some people who are stubborn and misguided or they're deviant. But many times our brothers and sisters or even our family members, they fall into error. And because of ignorance or because of lack of determination, meaning they're making a mistake and they need to be advised. They need to be directed. They need to be given guidance and the likes like this. They need to be rectified. They need to have someone take them by the hand and show them the right way and the right methodology in a good manner, hoping that they would accept that and benefit from that. But whenever a person, he does not traverse that noble methodology and he's harsh or he's rude or he belittles people, this does not build or cultivate, rather this destroys. Rather this breaks down and destroys. So some of the youth may have psychological problems. They may feel weak in the likes like this, and they might have problems in their mind, so on and so forth, dealing with personal issues because people did not treat them right whenever they were young, belittling them instead of building them and helping them and cultivating them and raising them. They destroyed them and belittled them and put them down and made them feel like they're worthless or like they're nothing. And then the shaitan played on them likewise, and then they believe that. وَلِيَذِي بِاللَّهِ. They come out weak, are scared or coward. They have cowardice with them and the likes like this because of a lack of cultivation, or they just succumb to their desires and their whims and they don't learn the way to strive against their soul because they were not cultivated.
So a person who makes a mistake, yes, he must be corrected, but the way to correct him is first and foremost with having a good intention, hoping good for them, that they will benefit. And then to approach them in the manner one he would like to be approached. And we all know the narration, which is muttafaqun alayhi from the hadith of Anas, and that Arabi bada fi ta'ifat al-masjid, that there was a desert Arab, he came and he passed urine in the corner of the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed urine. Ikramukum Allah in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And fazajarahu an-nas, and the people, they scolded him and reprimanded him. And no doubt this is something that must be reprimanded. It's something that must be forbidden. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade them. And he did not forbid them from forbidding him, but he forbade them for the way that they're forbidding him. Understand that? He stopped them in the manner that they're approaching him. They're approaching him with some harshness. They're being a little bit rough. And no doubt, this is from the ghayra. This is a masjid in the first place. And it's the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something to get riled up about. This is something to be concerned about. This is something that a person maybe he'll get hot and angry about. But that must be checked with the reins of the legislation. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with guidance with regards to that. So he waited till the man was finished. He said, da'uhu. Let him finish. Whenever he was done, he went over there sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and spoke to him gently. He said, this masjid, this place here is not for none of that. This is only for the salat and the recitation of the Quran. This is not proper here. And he taught the man. And the affair was good. So it's a bad situation. But if a person doesn't handle it properly, it will get worse. If a person doesn't handle it properly, it could get worse. And if, for example, if you just leave him alone, then the urine is contained in a small area. But if they go over there to reprimand him, maybe it's going to go all over the place. Allahul Musta'an. Allah, and maybe it's going to harm him likewise. And then also it's going to leave a bad impression on the person. This first time he comes to the masjid, he doesn't know that this is an honorable place, that they're not supposed to do this. He's coming from the desert. He's ignorant. He has no clue. So the people who are ignorant, who have no clue, or they make mistakes and the likes like this, or even they have the wrong understanding, the origin is to teach them gently. Or even they have the wrong understanding, the origin is to teach them gently and kindly in a good manner. Another companion likewise. He's in the middle of the prayer and somebody sneezes and he says, Yarhamukallah. He's talking in the middle of the prayer. And whenever the people, they're looking at him like, you know, be quiet. But they're in their prayer and they start slapping. He's talking, what are y'all looking at? And they're slapping their thighs and he's telling him to be quiet. You know, we're in prayer. You can't speak in the middle of the prayer. But he didn't know. So after it was over, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, who was speaking? So he said, I was. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to him and he spoke to him and mentioned similar, that this is not the time for that. This is salah. You only recite the Quran, you praise Allah, and you make dua and the likes like this. He said, radiallahu anhu, he said, wallahi ma kaharani wa la shatamani. He said, wa ma darabani. He said, I swear by Allah, he didn't curse me. He didn't call me names. He wasn't rude to me. He didn't hit me. He said, wallahi ma ra'aytu qablahu wa la ba'dahu mu'alliman khayran ahsana ta'liman minhu. Mu'alliman ahsana ta'liman minhu. I said, I swear by Allah, I never seen anyone before him nor after him better at teaching, more good at teaching than him. And he was a beautiful, kind, merciful teacher, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cultivating the people upon khayr, patient upon that way. And this is also from the traits that are mentioned here. So he must be gentle. He must be gentle in all of his affairs and teach the people with kindness and correct the mistakes in a good way. And it requires first and foremost to have a good intention. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he sent Mu'adh and Abu Musa radiallahu anhuma to Yemen, he said to them, both of them, he said, Bashiru wa la tunafiru, wa yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Or in some wording, Bashira wa la tunafira. Wa yassira wa la tu'assira. Give glad tidings and do not run the people away from you. And be cheerful, be nice, be kind, direct the people in a good way. You're calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. You're going there to teach them, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, to teach them about the salah and the rulings of the salah and the sacred rights of Islam and the incumbent rights and obligations that are binding upon them. So you have to do that in a good manner. So you give them glad tidings, and you speak to them cheerfully and nicely, in a good manner, with noble conduct, and do not run them away from you. Do not run them away from you. Some of the people who ascribe to the sunnah today, this is what they do because of a lack of understanding of this affair. They have some general knowledge, alhamdulillah. Maybe they have learned about the proper creed and the proper methodology, but they have not studied the proper manners and have not refined their soul. And they still have great deficiencies in their own conduct and manners. And then they bring that to the ranks of the Salafi, of the Salafiyun, and they run the people away. And they run the people away, especially the laymen. Especially the laymen, because of their bad manners. And I remember from the great advices I would hear from our teachers in Medina, from the scholars of Medina, often they would say, do not let your bad manners run the people away from the sunnah. Do not let your bad manners run the people away from the sunnah. So many people, they have these bad manners, and it's causing people to have a bad understanding or bad thoughts about the people of the sunnah, about the people of the sunnah. So this is something that's very important. So no doubt we must learn the creed, the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and our pillars and fundamentals of faith. And also we must learn jurisprudence, yani the application of that faith in fulfilling the obligations and prohibitions properly, the head of that tahara and salah and the rest of the pillars of al-Islam, and then the rest of the sacred rights of the deen likewise, all the way to buying and selling and contracts of marriage and divorce. We must learn all of these affairs, but also we must learn behavior and conduct. We must learn behavior and conduct, how to carry yourself, how to live as a Muslim, how to move as a Muslim, how to understand life and go through life in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And by cultivating that creed in the heart, by cultivating that creed in the heart, belief in Allah, belief in the angels, belief in the books, belief in the messengers, belief in the last day, belief in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever this belief is cultivated properly and nourished in the heart, it will rectify the soul. It will carry a person to check his eyes, to check his hands, to check his tongue, to eat with knowledge, to drink with knowledge, to sleep with knowledge, to live in this manner like this. He will not fast except he knows how to fast. And if something happens during his fast that he does not know, then he will ask and find out. He will ask and find out because he is hoping for the reward of Allah. He believes in Allah. He believes in the angels. They're writing his deeds. He believes in the messengers. He believes in the books. Revelation and guidance has come. He believes in the messengers. The final prophet has been sent. And we believe in him and testify to his truthfulness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we believe in the last day when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe in the decree of Allah and the command is in the hands of Allah. And that we are the slaves of Allah. So whenever it's cultivated good, wallahi, it will produce great benefit, great fruits, great noble character. That's how they reach this level. That's how they reach this level. It's been mentioned, some of the scholars, they would say about Abu Bakr, he said, Abu Bakr, he didn't reach what he reached from the high levels by a lot of praying and a lot of fasting. But what it was something that settled in his heart, meaning sincere faith. And no doubt whenever that sincere faith settles in the heart, then the person, he will have a lot of good salat and sadaqah and fasting. But it's not just simple actions done with heedlessness or negligence or forgetfulness or even righteous deeds that are done properly along with neglecting the other rites of al-Islam, like avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions or dealing with people with rudeness instead of kindness, so on and so forth. So the religion of al-Islam, Allahu Akbar, is an encompassing perfect way of life. The religion of al-Islam is an encompassing perfect way of life, not only in the masjid. No, it's in your house too. In your house too. You must establish Islam in your house, in your home, with your father, with your father, with your mother, with your sister, with your brother, with your wife, with your husband. Islam is in the market likewise. Al-Islam is in the market likewise. Wherever you may go in the street, when you're driving down the road, you must establish the deen in your life. You must establish al-Islam in your life. There are rulings that are encompassing all aspects of our life. We must learn them and then abide by them. We must learn them and abide by them. So this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teaching the people gently. And those who make mistakes, they're corrected with courtesy, with kindness, with a good intention, hoping that they will benefit. As for if a person, he was harsh or rude, then many times they run away. Bashira wa la tunafira. Be gentle, kind, give glad tidings, be courteous, do not run the people away. Wa yassira wa la to asira, and make it easy, facilitate the affair, and do not make it complicated. Some people, they make things hard and complicated when it's not hard and complicated. They make things hard and complicated when it's not hard and complicated. Just cooperate. Just cooperate. And things will go much easier. Like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also ordered them, the two of them, Mu'adh and Abu Musa, he said, وَتَطَاوَعَ. You have to obey one another. You have to cooperate together in obedience. If one of your companions needs you to do something, then he asks you to do it, then you do it. You cooperate with him upon that. You cooperate with him upon that. You know, it's easy. Alhamdulillah, he ordered you to do some khair, ordered you to do something good. And the likes like this, then he cooperated upon that. It's easy. It's easy. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. I just remember now a narration about one of the students of hadith. He came into the Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the time of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, approximately. And a man, he came in and he sat down immediately. A man, he came in the masjid, he sat down immediately. He didn't pray. Tahiyat al-masjid. So the student who's narrating the story, he said, what's wrong with you? You know, you're not going to pray tahiyat al-masjid? You're going to come in the masjid like this and just sit down, not pray tahiyat al-masjid? He reprimanded him harshly. And he's like, look, he's looking at him like, you old man, you don't. He let him have it. And then the student, why is he in the masjid? He's coming, he's waiting for the gathering of Ibn Abi Dhi'ib to sit and narrate narrations. And then whenever the man, he stood up and he prayed, and after that he sat against the pillar, and then all the people came around and gathered around him, and that was him. That was him. He was harsh to his teacher, the man he came for. The man he came for, that wound up being him. And then whenever he was over, he was so embarrassed, he said, I apologize. I did it like this. He said, no, it's okay. You ordered me to do some good, so I did what you said. You're right. So I stood up and did it. So the point is that this is the case. This is the case. Alhamdulillah, if somebody tells you to do something and you know it's good, don't have any block. Don't have a personal mind block. I'm not listening to him. If somebody tells you, for example, scoot over, brother, in the salah, you tap him. You scoot over. And if he tells you to scoot over to the right way, right? If he tells you to scoot over in the direction of the imam. But if he tells you in their prayer to scoot over to the direction of the wall, and the opposite way, you don't tell him, right? You tell him, actually, we're supposed to get closer in the direction of the imam, right? In the direction of the imam. So now you're going to have to even be more patient, more patient. So the point is that we cooperate with each other, we work together. Alhamdulillah, a believer is easy to deal with. He's not hard to deal with. Yani, if you pull him with you, he's going to go with you and to the khair. And as for the evil, no doubt he's going to stop and he's going to check that person again. But what we're learning here or being reminded of is that we do that gently, we do that kindly, we do that in a noble manner. We do not make bad situations worse. This is not from the deen. This is not from the deen. To make bad situations worse, rather from the deen, is to make bad situations better or to remove them altogether. This is from the principles of the religion. This is from the principles of the religion. الدين مبني على جلب المصالح وتكثيرها ودرء المفاسد وتقليدها. This is a great principle in the religion. الدين مبني. The religion is based upon جلب المصالح وتكثيرها, by bringing about goodness and increasing them. Bringing about goodness and increasing them. ودرء المفاسد وتقليلها, and by repelling and doing away with evils and problems, and enlightening them. So either you're going to bring about the good, and attempt to, and if you're possible, even increase it and do more. But at least you're going to bring good. You do good, and then you try to even bring more good. You need to do as much as you can. And as for the evil, then you repel it. And if you cannot repel it, then you at least minimize it. But whatever you do not make it worse. Whatever you do, you do not make it worse. That's from the ways of the devil, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, to make bad situations worse, to make better situations less good. To weaken the goodness. صَبُورٌ عَلَى تَعْلِيمِ الْخَيِّرِ. He's very patient in teaching goodness. Very patient in teaching goodness. يَأْنَسُ بِهِ الْمُتَعَلِّمُ وَيَفْرَحُ بِهِ الْمُجَالِسُ. مُجَالَسَتُهُ تُفِيدُ خَيْرًا. مؤدب لمن جلسه بأدب القرآن والسنة إن أصيب بمصيبة فالقرآن والسنة مؤدبان. The student finds comfort in his presence, and his companions enjoy his company. Sitting with him brings benefit, as he instills the etiquette of the Quran and Sunnah in those around him. If he faces hardship, he turns to the Quran and Sunnah for guidance and discipline. If he faces hardship, he turns to the Quran and Sunnah for guidance and discipline, because it's great guidance in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla in all aspects of life. Here he says, يَحْزَنُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَبْكِي بِعِلْمٍ. This is what we want to talk about today. يَحْزَنُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَبْكِي بِعِلْمٍ. That he grieves with knowledge and he weeps with knowledge. He grieves with knowledge and he weeps with knowledge. He says, Rahimahullah, وَيَسْبِرُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَتَطَهَّرُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُصَلِّي بِعِلْمٍ وَيُزَكِّي بِعِلْمٍ وَيَتَصَدَّقُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَصُومُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُحُجُّ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُجَاهِدُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَكْتَسِبُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُنْفِقُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَنْبَسِطُ فِي الْأُمُورِ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَنْقَبِضُ عَنْهَا بِعِلْمٍ قَدْ أَدَّبَهُ الْقُرْآنُ وَالسُّنَّةُ. He grieves with knowledge, weeps with knowledge, and is patient based upon knowledge. He purifies himself, making wudu and tahara and ghusl with knowledge, prays with knowledge, gives zakat with knowledge, donates in charity with knowledge, fasts with knowledge, performs hajj with knowledge, struggles in the path of Allah, fighting to raise the kalima of Allah with knowledge, earns his livelihood with knowledge, spends his wealth with knowledge, engages in social matters. And today we have, what do they call it? Social media with knowledge. People who do not have fiqh in the deen, social media ruins them and their reputation. Social media ruins them and their reputation. Waliyadhu billah. Because they have no understanding, no fiqh in the deen, no fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, no remembrance of the Most Gracious, Subhana, whenever they're engaged in these social matters, in these social media. And many times the social media, they call it, they call it wasa'il al-tawasul. Some of the people of knowledge have changed that name to its reality. They call it wasa'il al-tawasul, which is the means for communication or coming together, right? They call it wasa'il al-taqatu', means for severance. Means for severance, because many people, instead of getting together in these social media, they wind up separating from each other and having enmity towards each other. Many times they'll open a WhatsApp group and the likes like this, and they will not know how to run that group, and people will start posting things, and sometimes maybe they'll post something that's not proper to post, and then somebody will be harsh and rude in the way that he advises them, and then they split up, and then they'll open another group after this one, or they'll kick this one out of that group, and then he opens another group. So now they have from one group to two groups, and then the same thing continues to happen, and then tell their brothers they'll hate each other because of something that happened, or something somebody posted in a WhatsApp group. Allahumma musta'an. My advice for the likes of those brothers is to not have WhatsApp groups. You have WhatsApp channels, and you have someone who is reliable, to administrate that channel, and to allow other peoples he trusts in the religion to also administrate the channel, and then you spread knowledge in this way. As for opening a platform for anyone to get involved, and anyone to send what they want, and anyone to say what they want, and anyone to comment what they want, this is a mixing pot for chaos. And this is what happens. Yani, in the end, many people, they become enemies, and they have hatred in their heart for each other, and they divide in the likes like this, and it's not beneficial. So this is from the way of a person of knowledge. He says, وَيَنْبَسِطُ فِي الْأُمُورِ بِإِلْمِ. He engages in social matters in his life and in all of his affairs in his life and his day. He does that with knowledge. And also he backs away. He withdraws from these affairs also. He doesn't get involved with it. Maybe he doesn't open this particular type of platform. He doesn't open that hisab, that account on this one, on that one. He doesn't have an account in Fisk book because of the evil that it may lead him to. And the likes like this. He doesn't have an account in this one or account in that one, and so on and so forth. And he doesn't respond to all of the comments and the likes like this, or read the comments, any out of fear of wasting his time at bare minimum, so on and so forth. So what he does get involved in, he does that with knowledge. Whatever he withholds from, he does that with knowledge. This also goes from spreading posts and who you spread from and the things that are being spreaded. So some people, they just spread whatever they get. Maybe it's something good, but the link leads them to someone bad. It's something a person, he must have knowledge with regards to. Or maybe the issue that's discussed in the clip is something true, but it's not really proper to spread it. People spreading things left and right, and it doesn't need to be spread. It doesn't need to be spread amongst the layman, amongst the public, and the likes like this. This thing needs to be pushed on the side, and it needs to be handled in another way, not on social media. Not on social media, but people who have no fiqh in the religion, the people who have no knowledge of these affairs, they just click and spread whatever. And everything. And many times, wallahi, fitna comes about from these things. Fitna comes about from these things. The social media and the internet and these devices that we have in general, they have great benefit with them. But the harms are greater. And a person really must fear Allah Azza wa Jal when using them. And a person, he really must fear Allah Azza wa Jal when using the internet, when using the phone, when using the computer. Yani from many aspects. So he says the Quran and Sunnah have refined his character. The Quran and Sunnah have refined his character. With regards to the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in grieving and crying, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this, and he, in many other great benefits similar like this in his book Zad al-Ma'ad. So he mentioned Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah about the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is so a person, he can cry with knowledge, right? Because a person of the Quran, يَحْزَنُ بِعِلْمِ, he grieves with knowledge. وَيَبْكِي بِعِلْمِ, and he cries with knowledge. Ibn Qayyim, he says, rahimahullah, وَمَّا بُكَاؤُهُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَكَانَ مِنْ جِنْسِ ضَحِكِهِ. As for the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it was similar to his laughter. It was similar to his laughter. We discussed his laughter briefly. How was the laughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Huh? It was moderate. It was not too extremes. He was not always laughing out loud in the likes like this, nor did he never laugh. The majority of the time he would smile. And sometimes in certain circumstances, there would be a large laugh from him or a bigger laugh from him to where his teeth could be seen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that's not the common way. So his laughing was in moderation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Qayyim is saying that likewise the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was similar. He says, لم يكن بشهيق ورفع الصوت لم يكن بشهيق ورفع الصوت كما لم يكن ضحكه بقهقه ولكن كان تدمع عيناه حتى تهملا ويسمع لصدره أزير. He said, as for the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was similar to his laughter. It was not with loud sobbing or a raised voice, just as his laughter was not with excessive laughter. Rather, his eyes would shed tears until they overflowed, and a sound of sobbing could be heard from his chest. وَكَانَ بُكَاؤُهُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam تَرَّةً رَحْمَةً لِلْمَيْتِ وَتَرَّةً خَوْفًا عَلَى أُمَّتِهِ وَشَفَقَةً وَتَرَّةً مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتَارَةً عِنْدَ سَمَاعِ الْقُرْآنِ وَهُوَ بُكَاءُ اشْتِيَاقٍ وَمَحَبَّةٍ وَإِجْلَالٍ مُصَاحَبٍ لِلْخَوْفِ وَالْخَشَّةِ. His crying was sometimes out of mercy for the deceased, sometimes out of fear and concern for his ummah, sometimes out of awe and reverence of Allah, and at other times when hearing the Qur'an, a crying that was accompanied by longing, love, reverence, fear, and humility. وَلَمَّا مَاتَ ابْنُهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ دَمَعَتْ عَيْنَاهُ وَبَكَى رَحْمَةً لَهُ وَقَالَ تَدْمَعُ الْعَيْنُ وَيَحْزَنُ الْقَلْبُ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا وَإِنَّكَ بِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَمَحْزُونٌ. When his son Ibrahim passed away, his eyes filled with tears, and he wept out of mercy for him, saying, "The eyes shed tears, the heart grieves, and we do not say anything except what pleases our Lord. And indeed, we are saddened by your departure, O Ibrahim. So this is a narration here that he's referring to, rahimahullahu ta'ala, which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim. It's narrated by Anas. And Anas, he said, radiyallahu anhu, so we can understand, because this is the clear proof on the means to grieve and cry with knowledge, and the knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Anas, he said, radiyallahu anhu, thumma, yani, that they came to the Prophet one day, and he was with his son Ibrahim, and the likes. And then they came another day. ثم دخلنا, and something was going on. ودخلنا عليه بعد ذلك وإبراهيم يجود بنفسه. Then we came back in when the prophet was with his son Ibrahim. He's a young boy, and he is in the pains of death, and his soul is about to leave his body. فدمعت عينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the eyes of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, they started تذريفان. فدمعت عينا رسول الله تذريفان. So the eyes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم filled with tears, and they began to run. فقال له عبد الرحمن بن عوف. At this time, عبد الرحمن بن عوف, he said, وأنت يا رسول الله, even you are going to cry over messenger of Allah. And you're the one that's supposed to have the greatest faith and trust and reliance upon Allah and know the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, and even you, O Messenger of Allah, you want to cry. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَا إِبْنَ عَوْفْ إِنَّهَا رَحْمَةً إِنَّهَا رَحْمَةً. O son, O Ibn Auf, and Abdul Rahman Ibn Auf, indeed this is mercy. This is mercy that whenever a person is afflicted with the hardship or the loss of a loved one who goes through trials and the likes like this, that a tear will come to his eye. This is from mercy. This is from mercy. He says, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَهَا بِأُخْرَى. And then another one came. And some of the people Ramadan has mentioned, more tears came. And others they mentioned, he followed up here with this statement. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعُ وَالْقَلْبَ إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعُ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزُنُ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. This is what Ibn Qayyim is mentioning here. He says that indeed the eyes shed tears and the heart it grieves, and the heart hurts, it grieves over the loss of the loved one, but we do not say anything that does not please our Lord. You understand that? So therefore, a person's heart, no doubt, feels that pain and feels that grief and is saddened, but the tongue is checked with iman. You understand? Because that grief likewise is checked with iman. So, but we do not say anything that would displease our Lord. We don't act like the people of al-Jahiliyyah, ripping our clothes off or screaming and yelling, wail, and this like this, or hitting and throwing objects and so on and so forth, or cursing and screaming for destruction and the likes, and making dua against ourselves. Waliyadhi billah. This is not the way. Rather, we a person at the time, out of mercy, he will feel grief, he will be saddened, and this is lawful, but he will not say anything contrary to the aqeedah of the tawheed. Waadih? He will not say anything contrary to the aqeedah of the tawheed. He will not say anything that will earn the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, وَإِنَّ بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُنُونَ. Indeed, with your departure, and with your loss, with your death, O Ibrahim, we're very sad. We're very sad. So this is the example of the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Qayyim, he says, رحمه وَبَكَى لَمَّا شَهَدَ إِحْدَى بَنَاتِهِ وَنَفْسُهَا تَفِيضُ وَبَكَى لَمَّا قَرَأَ عَلَيْهِ ابن مسعود سورة النساء وانتهى فيها إلى قوله تعالى فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء الشهيدة. He also cried صلى الله عليه وسلم when he saw one of his daughters in her final moments as her soul was departing. He cried when Ibn Mas'ud recited Surah An-Nisa to him and reached the verse, so how will it be when we bring from every nation a witness, and we bring you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, as the witness over these people. وبكى لما مات عثمان بن مذعون وبكى لما كسفت الشمس صلى فصلى صلاة الكسوف وجعل يبكي في صلاته وينفخ ويقول ربي ألم تعدني ألا تعذبهم وأنا فيهم وهم يستغفرون ونحن نستغفرك. And he wept صلى الله عليه وسلم upon the passing of Uthman ibn Mad'un, and he cried when the sun was eclipsed, performing the eclipse prayer, weeping, bowing in his prayer, and saying, O Lord, you have promised me that you will not punish them while I am among them, and while they seek your forgiveness, and we seek your forgiveness. And he crying out of fear of Allah. وَبَكَى لَمَّا جَلَسَ عَلَى قَبْرِ إِحْدَى بَنَاتِهِ وَكَانَ يَبْكِي أَحْيَانًا فِي صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ. He also wept whenever he sat at the grave of one of his daughters. At times he would cry during his night prayers. So this is from mercy. This is from mercy at the time of a deceased or experiencing great hardship, that a person, he will find tears. There has been narrations mentioned that from some of the Salaf, that one of them, he would lose his child, and then he would smile and laugh. his smile and laugh, saying that he's pleased with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is from those circumstances, this is from those events that we say in the likes of this, that the righteous and the pious from the Salaf, no doubt, we honor them and respect them, but anything that's contrary to the guidance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we do not follow that. We do not follow that. So we will say about the likes of that, the individual who said that if that was reported authentically from him, then that's from his ijtihad. But as for the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever he lost his son, he cried. And he mentioned that that's mercy. So therefore, from the ways of mercy and the ways of the Prophet of mercy, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is to cry. Is to cry in the likes of these circumstances. To cry moderately, not to weep out loud and to wail in the likes like this, but that tears will come. And even that the tears will come until they're flowing. Until they're flowing. This is allowed. This is allowed, but a person, he will not say anything that will displease Allah Azza wa Jal. He will not say anything that will displease Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a great benefit. Ibn Qayyim, he says, وَبُكَاءُ أَنْوَاءٍ. And crying is different types. Now he mentions types of crying. And this is also important to know. Not everyone who's crying is crying in a manner that he will have reward. Or crying in a manner that's praiseworthy. Some people are crying and it's not the proper time to cry. He's not crying for the right reason. And he may not have a reward for his tears. And his tears may not be shown mercy. So Ibn Qayyim says the types of crying. The first one, and ahaduha, buka'u rahma wa riqa. Wa thani buka'u al-khawfi wa al-khashya. والثالث بكاء المحبة والشوق والرابع بكاء الفرح والسرور والخامس بكاء الجزع من ورود المؤلم وعدم احتماله الثاني بكاء الخوف والخشية والثالث بكاء المحبة والشوق والرابع بكاء الفرح والسرور والخامس بكاء الجزع من ورود المؤلم وعدم احتماله. The first, crying out of mercy and tenderness, any tenderness of the heart. And this is a cry that stems from compassion and sensitivity. And the second, crying out of fear and reverence. Crying out of fear and reverence. This is a cry resulting from the fear of Allah and humility before Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third, crying out of love and longing. A cry that emerges from deep love and yearning for something or someone. Cry out of loving and longing. And loving Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the good way. The fourth, crying out of joy and happiness. A cry that expresses delight and pleasure. Person maybe who will realize the great favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla and how happy he is to be a Muslim, and tears will come to his eyes. Alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I am a Sunni. Alhamdulillah, I'm Salafi. Alhamdulillah. He'll cry out of joy. He'll cry out of joy. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. The fifth, crying out of distress from pain and inability to bear it. A cry due to overwhelming suffering and a lack of endurance. He says, Rahimahullah, as-sadis, buka'u al-huzn, buka' al-huzn, crying out of grief. He says, Rahimahullah, wa al-farqu baynahu wa bayna buka' al-khawf, ana buka' al-huzn yakunu ala ma madha min husuli makruh, aw fawati mahbub, wa buka' al-khawfi yakunu lima yatawaqa'u fi al-mustaqbali min dhalika, wa al-farqu bayna buka' al-sururi wa al-farahi wa buka' al-huzni anna dam'ata surur barida. والقلب فرحان ودمعة الحزن حارة والقلب حزين ولهذا يقال لما يفرح به هو قرة عين وأقر الله عينه به ولما يحزنه هو سخنة عين أسخنه الله عينه به. The sixth, crying out of grief. The difference between this and crying out of fear is that grief is over the past event, either a downfall, calamity that has already occurred, or a beloved thing that was lost. In contrast, the fear-induced crying is due to anticipating something distressed in the future. So crying from grief is over something that has already passed. And crying out of fear is out of something that one is afraid will happen in the future. He said that the difference between crying from joy and crying from sorrow is that joyful tears are cool. Joyful tears are cool. Cool, you understand it? Are cool. And the heart feels delighted, whereas sorrowful tears are warm and the heart is burdened with grief. the grief. That is why people say about something that brings joy, it is the delight to his eyes. It's coolness in his eyes. And that is why people say about something that brings joy, it is delight to the eyes. And they pray, may Allah delight your eyes with it. In contrast, something that causes sorrow is referred to as a source of eye burning. And they say, may Allah not cause your eyes to burn because of it. May Allah not cause your eyes to burn because of it. As-sabi', the seventh type of crying, buka'u al-khawar wal-da'af. Wal-thamin, buka'u al-nifaq. Wahuwa an tadma al-ayn wal-qalba qas. فَيُظْهِرُ صَاحِبُهُ الْخُشُوعَ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَقْصَى النَّاسِ قَلْبًا وَالتَّاسِعُ الْبُكَاءُ الْمُسْتَعَارُ وَالْمُسْتَجَرُّ عَلَيْهِ كَبُكَاءِ النَّائِحَةِ بِالْأُجْرَةِ فَإِنَّهَا كَمَا قَالَ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ تَبِيعُ عَبْرَتَهَا وَتَبْكِي بِشَجْوِ غَيْرِهَا. So he says the seventh, crying out of weakness and helplessness, a cry that results from a lack of resilience and strength. The eighth, crying out of hypocrisy, when the eyes shed tears but the heart remains hardened. So the person appears outwardly humbled while being one of the most rigid-hearted individuals. The ninth, fake and hired crying, such as the crying of professional mourners who are paid to wail at funerals. Ibn Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he said, they sell their tears and weep over the sorrow of others. Wal ashir buka'u al-muwafaqah. This one is amazing. Al-ashir buka al-muwafaqah. وهو يرى الرجل الناس يبكون لأمر ورد عليهم فيبكي معهم ولا يدري لأي شيء يبكون لكن رآهم يكون فبكى. He said the tenth is the crying of imitation. He said muwafaqah. Muwafaqah, I mean it just happened to happen. Like that. He says sympathetic crying. And he meaning this happens whenever a person sees others crying over something and joins them without knowing why they're crying. He says simply because he saw them crying, so he cried along with them. And sometimes a person, he sees somebody crying, he does not know what happened to them. And next thing you know, he's crying along with them. Tears are running down his cheeks, and he does not even know why. Why are you crying? I saw him crying, and I started crying. Subhanallah. This is the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a human being that Allah has created in this manner. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَمَا كَانَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ دَمْعًا بِلَا سَوْتٍ فَهُوَ بُكَاءٌ مَقْصُورٌ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ سَوْتٌ فَهُوَ بُكَاءٌ مَمْدُودٌ عَلَى بِنَاءِ الْأَسْوَاتِ. If tears flow without a sound, it is called buka. The elongation, without hamza. But if it is accompanied by a sound, it is called buka with the hamza. We have Arif Maksura and you have Arif Mamduda with the Hamza after it. So the one that is without sound is called Buka. And the one with a sound is called Buka. Buka'un. Yani with the Hamza in the end of it. He's saying, Rahimahullah. As it follows the linguistic pattern of the words indicating sounds. He says, قَالَ الشَّعِرْ بَكَتْ عَيْنِي وَهُكَّ لَهَا بُكَاهَا وَمَا يَغْنِي بُكَاءُ. The poet has said, My eye wept, and rightfully so should it weep. But what benefit is there in weeping or wailing? وَمَا كَانَ مِنْهُ مُسْتَدْعًا مُتَكَلَّفًا فَهُوَ أَتَبَاكِي وَهُوَ نُعَانِي مَحْمُودٌ وَمَذْمُومٌ فَالْمَحْمُودُ أَنْ يُسْتَجْلَبَ لِرِقَّةِ الْقَلْبِ وَلِخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ لَا لِلْرِيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ وَالْمَذْمُومُ أَنْ يُجْتَلَبَ لِأَجْرِ الْخَلْقِ. If crying is induced or performed deliberately. Crying is induced or performed deliberately. He made himself cry. This is called at-tabaki. This is called at-tabaki. So you have baka yabki, ibki buka'an. That's just to cry. Baka. Then if you put it on another scale, tafa'ala, you say tabaka, yatabaka, tabakiyan. So he at-tabaki is on the wasn tafa'al. So this, one of the meanings of this skill is to show that you're doing something and you're not really doing it. To show that you're doing something and not really doing it. Al-jasus yatanawam. And he makes it, he pretends to be sleeping. Right? Pretends to be sleeping. He's not really sleeping. التناوم, on that scale. So to pretend to do something, you put it on this scale of تفاؤل, يعني along with other meanings. But this is what is intended here, التباكي. And this is to pretend to cry, or to induce, or to deliberately cry. So this is of two types, praiseworthy and blameworthy. To make oneself cry deliberately, this is two types, praiseworthy and blameworthy. The praiseworthy type is when a person induces tears to soften his heart, increase his reverence and fear of Allah, not for showing off or seeking praise. For example, if he's praying in the janazah, and for some reason his heart is not together, and tears do not come to his eyes, and there's a dead brother in front of him, and the likes like this, he will try to make himself cry, and to soften his heart at that time. Because if he doesn't cry at this time, then when is he going to cry? There's a person deceased, that the reality of death is in front of his face. And one should remember that that's going to be my reality, sooner or later. So this should be a great reminder that will cause the heart to cry. So a person, if he in certain circumstances, he will try to cry in order to cause his heart to soften, and the likes like this, not for showing off or seeking praise. The blameworthy type is when crying is forced to impress others and seek their admiration. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ وَقَدْ قَالَ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ لِلنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ رَآهُ يَبْكِي وَهُوَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ فِي شَأْنِ أُسَارَى بَدْرٍ أخبرني ما يبكيك يا رسول الله فإن وجدت بكاء بكيت وإلا تباكيت. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he once said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he saw him and Abu Bakr crying regarding the captives of Badr, "Tell me, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes you cry? If I find reason to cry, I will cry, and if not, I will force myself to cry. وَلَمْ يُنْكِرْ عَلَيْهِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the Prophet did not rebuke him for saying this. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ إِبْكُوا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَاكَوْا. And one of the righteous predecessors, they said, weep out of fear of Allah. And if you cannot weep, then force yourself to weep. So this is some of the benefits with regards to that. So what we can take now from that is that each one of these points, as I have mentioned before, details have been mentioned about them. Clarified guidance has come in the Quran and the Sunnah. The author, he's just mentioning them here individually. But in reality, these are points that we must learn and study. Especially, for example, where he prays with knowledge. We must learn to pray with knowledge. He fasts with knowledge. We must fast with knowledge. We cannot fast with ignorance. We must give charity with knowledge, spend money with knowledge, deal in our social matters with knowledge. All of these affairs, they must be with knowledge. They must be with knowledge. Wallahu al-musta'an. Wallahu al-musta'an. I wanted to complete this chapter today, and we almost completed it yesterday, but inshallah, time already passed. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. جزاكم الله خيرا.